Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Knowledgeable.
Listen, here's what's wrong with your hypothesis, your theorem, your supposition, your postulate.
Honest.
If that front ain't in gangsta, your back end won't be able to show its full potential.
Understanding.
You're going to suck. You're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Passionate.
I'm all over social media. I live it.
This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hashtag facts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
With two, step back three is no good. Bedlam in Bloomington, number four goes down.
There's been some really good college basketball games this year. I told you that Monday's game between Purdue and Illinois was one of the best games I've watched all year. Last night, watching Purdue and Indiana coming from a couple of down late to win that game, was a phenomenal game in a phenomenal environment. I've never been to Assembly Hall to see a game. I've walked through Assembly Hall, Brendan, when I took one of my boys on a college trip to Bloomington, Indiana, which, by the way, is a nice little town, nice college town, beautiful campus, the University of Indiana is. Or is it Indiana University? I believe it's the University of Indiana. I think Indiana University is actually in Pennsylvania. And the only reason I know that is I think I got a letter from them when I was in high school for basketball. I think it's Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Anyway, I've never been to Assembly Hall. I would love to. Naki has said over and over again since entering the Big Ten that that's the place to see a game, that there are great venues throughout the Big Ten, but Assembly Hall is the place, and it was rocking last night. I was looking, by the way, for the Caps game, because on my phone, you know, I saw that it was a tight game in the third period. And usually when it's a tight game in the third period, I'll flip it on just to see how the game ends. But I could not find the game on television. Where was the Caps game last night?
The Caps game last night was on ESPN Plus as part of the new TV deal with the NHL.
Oh, it was on ESPN Plus?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. So, no Joe B, no locker, because the game was on ESPN Plus. Which meant you had to have ESPN Plus to watch the Caps last night lose to the Bruins. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, you have to pay $5.99 a month to watch the Caps lose to the Bruins.
Wow. Wow, I would imagine not a lot of happy people there. By the way, the loss for the Caps now makes them basically 500 in their last 10 games, and they are in the fourth position now in the Metropolitan. You know, they are trailing the Rangers, Carolina, and actually they're tied with Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's been rolling recently, if you didn't know that. And the Caps are tied for fourth, or tied for third, I guess, with Pittsburgh. Now, they are all four of those teams just solidly clear of everybody else in the division and solidly ahead of the other teams in the other division, the Atlantic. Remember the way the NHL playoffs work. It's the top three in each division and then the next two best records. We're not doing what we did last year. We're back to the the regular system, I believe. The Caps are safely a playoff team for this upcoming 2022 postseason, which we are, I guess, 2.5 months away from. Look, they've only played half their games, so they're still half the schedule. I get it. But the Caps lose to the Bruins last night, and what I read was a very physical game. Caps were a little bit limited with injuries and I guess a suspension as well, but they lost to the Bruins, a game that you could only watch on ESPN Plus. Meantime, I watched a little of Georgetown yesterday. Why, you ask? Because the Hoyas are terrible. Well, because I bet the Hoyas yesterday. The Hoyas were only getting 10 against Providence, Brendan, after they were getting 12.5 against St. John's and got clocked. So I was like, that line is a little bit short. The public was all over Providence. I played the Hoyas, and they came through for me. It was very dicey at the end. They had Donald Carey back, one of their better players, and he went for 21 points. But they got it done with a little bit of a big three at the end and no fouling at the very end, and they lost by 8, which was a nice win. A nice cover for Georgetown, who really is a bad basketball team. This is not a very good basketball team. The Hoyas, you know, had all of the COVID games lost or postponed. They've lost 5 in a row. They are 6-9. Look, they had that beautiful, exciting Big East tournament run last year with Kudus Wahab playing very well, if you recall. The transfer to Maryland, who's really been kind of a disappointment to a certain degree this year for the Terps. But the Hoyas are bad. I mean, really bad. And the Big East has many more ranked teams than the ACC does. The Big East has, I think, 3 or 4 teams in the top 25. Just off the top of my head, Villanova, and I'd have to look this up. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Villanova and Providence, I know, are ranked. I know UConn's ranked, like, barely. And they've got another ranked team. Not Marquette, although Marquette had a good win the other night with Daryl Morcell playing well at Villanova. Xavier, they've got 4 ranked teams, and the ACC's got 1 ranked team. The Big East, which was thought to be kind of the afterthought after all of the conference reshuffling, and the Big East has 4 ranked teams, and the ACC has just 1 ranked team. Anyway. Good college basketball game last night at Indiana with Purdue losing for the 3rd time this year. I think they're really good. I do. And I just think the Big Ten is a grind night in and night out. And we talked about this last year. And the truth is the Big Ten fell flat on its face when we got to the NCAA tournament. It had all, you know, 9 or 10 teams last year? Was it more than that? I forget now with the final number of tournament teams with, you know, plenty of Final Four contenders or certainly deep into the tournament contenders. And they fell flat on their face last year. I think Michigan made it to the Elite Eight and that was it. Maybe somebody else I'm forgetting. Wisconsin's good. Illinois is really good. Purdue's good this year. Michigan State's good. Ohio State's good. Indiana's decent. Rutgers is very surprisingly good this year. I think Pikel's doing a great job. They won on just a disgraceful call at the end the other night over Iowa 48-46. And I guess as I continue to talk about Big Ten basketball, I'm realizing that nobody cares. But Rutgers has won like 7 of their last 8, something like that. They're a good team. And they're grinding it out with old Ron Harper Jr. Many of you remember old Ron Harper Sr. played with the Jordan Bulls there for several years. All right, let's get to a what do you got?
All right, all right, all right.
What do you got?
I did want to mention that, because I wasn't here yesterday, had a commitment that I had to take care of. Anyway, thanks to Scott Jackson for sitting in. I love Scott. The Wizards, I thought, played really well the other night. I watched that game. You know, there are a couple of those calls that, you know, were clearly missed, but I thought they played really well against a Kevin Durant-less Brooklyn team, but still an exciting game. I think the Wizards are actually, you know, a decent team. You know, they're not at the top of the East. You know, I would not, they're not clearly not in that You know, what I would call the top four in the East right now, which to me are Chicago, Miami, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. Like, those are the four teams that I think are just better than everybody else. I'm not ready to put the 76ers into that category. I'm as impressive as Cleveland has been, they're not at that level. And the Wizards aren't at that level. But the Wizards might be in that next group of four or five. I mean, they are from a standing standpoint. I kind of thought for a while they were going to kind of slide away a little bit, and that we were going to be focused, unfortunately, before the trade deadline, more on like Bradley Beal and whether or not, you know, he was going to be here. But I think this is a pretty decent team. I think it's one of the deeper teams that they've had in a while. That was really an exciting game the other night. They play Toronto tonight at home. It's a game that, you know, they certainly need to get. You know, you need to win these home games. You need to, as Eddie Jordan once said, harvest your nuts. My what do you got, though, is the weather again. You know, as the promised long-range outlook weather guy that'll tell you when the next snowstorm is coming, there's really nothing necessarily out there right now. There are various storms running around. We're cold. It was cold this morning. I mean, when I got into the car this morning, and I don't have a garage. I do have a garage. I don't park the car in the garage. I parked the car in front of the house. And when I got into the car this morning, it was brutal. Super cold this morning. And it's going to be that way for a while. And I'd mentioned that basically towards the end of the month and maybe the first part of next month. But right now, there are a couple of possibilities next week, next weekend, the week after that. But nothing that looks obvious at this point. But I did want to mention that, man, did they blow the forecast for yesterday morning. They blew it. Because when I went to bed, finally, the night before, they were calling for 1 to 3, and in some cases, maybe up to 4 inches. I didn't see flake one fall. Did you, Brendan, yesterday morning?
Nope. All rain down in D.C. and at home.
Yeah, same. I was in D.C. to start the morning. I was in Bethesda after that, and all rain. And the Capital Weather Gang, and I love those guys, they really have a terrific following. They've got a good group of meteorologists on that site. The Post is the Capital Weather Gang. All those guys work for WashingtonPost.com. It's part of the WashingtonPost.com site. And they have created quite a following, and they do a really good job of explaining the weather, and they do a really good job of breaking things down. Now, the one criticism I would have of the Capital Weather Gang is they don't exactly, you know, go out on a limb, you know, for these storms. They'll give you a final forecast shortly before the event starts, not in advance too often. And they give you, like, you know, a general 1 to 4. You know, usually you get like 1 to 3, 2 to 4, 3 to 5, 3 to 6, 4 to 8, maybe, when you get into the higher areas of snow projections, snow total projections. You get a lot of like 2 to 6, 1 to 4s, and then you get a boom forecast and you get a bust forecast. I mean, they pretty much cover their backsides all the time. But they do a really good job in their write-ups of explaining the weather. And I've always appreciated that about them. And their chief meteorologist, I think that he would be their chief meteorologist, at least the guy that they is their go-to guy, this guy Wes Junker, who I have no idea who he is, but I've been reading his write-ups for years. And he does a great job of explaining everything. You know, yesterday they did a whole breakdown of what went wrong with the forecast. And it was quite the, like, rationalization of everything in their forecast the day before, which is fine. Like, sometimes it's okay just to say, we really blew this one. Because even if you didn't, because you covered yourself on every front with, like, the totals and then the bust and the boom, because their bust forecast clearly covered them. Because their bust forecast was for, like, a trace. Well, actually, we didn't even get a trace. I didn't see a flake, but I wasn't in position to see a flake at one point yesterday morning. But beyond that, I just think that they do a great job of explaining things, But at the same time, sometimes it's just easier to say, wow, we blew it. You could see this one coming a little bit the night before. Because for those of you that follow weather, when you get a west to east kind of a storm where you're warm to start and you're relying on a changeover from rain to snow, it's more difficult to predict when the rain will change to snow. And the models always do a poor job of predicting when the cold air will take over and the snow will start to fall. And the models were all telling them that the cold air was going to come in much sooner and that the rain was going to change to snow at 5, 6, 7 a.m. and we were going to get very heavy snow for a few hours, which is why they warned everybody we could get, you know, 1 inch to 2 inches easily. 3 inches, in fact. But the models never do a great job with that. And if they... I think they should have put more weight into that. Anyway, who am I to tell them how to do their job? I'm an idiot. No big storms right now in the offing, but that could change. Like, because all these people are doing, they're not forecasting, they're just reading model runs. And then they're guessing which models are right. And each model has is an inaccurate thrower of the football. Like, each of them can make the throws, but they will miss badly on several of them. They'll throw the Jimmy Garoppolo ball 6 feet over the head of the wide-open wide receiver in the Dallas game on Sunday that gets intercepted. They'll do that one out of every two or three storms. We got a lot to get to this morning. Two stories were written this week. One yesterday on Washington Football Team's website by Mike Silver, you know, who was employed as, you know, I think sort of an independent contractor writer for the team's website this year. And then John Keim, I think, revealed something that we've talked about for a while now, but kind of confirmed something that I wanted to get to as it relates to last year's draft. We'll get to both of those things next. We've got a lot of NFL playoffs to talk about this morning. Ben Standing will be on the show. I've got smell test picks, although I don't love any of them. That might be a good thing, though. But we've got four playoff games. And by the way, did you know, Brendan, did you know that Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, and Matt LaFleur are all coaching in the NFL playoffs this weekend? I didn't know that. Thanks for all those videos that you sent me of the three, everybody, because I had no idea that they were coaching in the NFL playoffs this weekend and that they were all at one time on Washington's staff. Who knew? Up next, I'm going to get to this Mike Silver story and the John Keim story. There are two things out of them that I think are important. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer on the Pro Football Playoffs. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use my bonus code, KevinS200, when you make that first bet. Enjoy the playoffs like never before and earn M-Life rewards that you can use for rooms and dining at any MGM resort nationwide. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use my bonus code, KevinS200, to win $200 in free bets if either team scores a touchdown in a Pro Football Playoff game. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. DC and Virginia only. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as cash or non-withdrawable free bets. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you've got a gambling problem...
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
1-800-522-4700.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Time wrote a story the other day titled Washington's Faith in Its Roster Could Lead to Aggressive Pursuit of QBs. Look, I mean, 90% of what's going to be discussed over the next few months as it relates to the Washington football team is going to be quarterback. I've already mentioned the fact that Ron Rivera putting pressure on himself as a year three, you know, sort of landmark for turning it around and getting the thing rolling from a sustained success standpoint is really not what is important for this franchise right now. Look, there's so many things that are important for this franchise, but from a football standpoint, it is not going 10-7 next year. It is landing the quarterback. Easier said than done, as we know. But they've got to, at the end of next year, or at some point during the next year, they have to have the answer, quarterback, or at least, you know, we all have to think that they found their answer. And there's no guarantee that we'll do it, that they'll find it. In fact, the odds are that they won't. The odds are that any team in the market for a franchise quarterback won't land on the quarterback this year. And by the way, you know, they've put a hell of a lot of pressure on themselves here over the last couple of weeks to land on the quarterback. And that quarterback may not exist, may not be available. Like, I was thinking about this, and I was having a conversation with one of my sons the other night just about, you know, the list of, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, you know, the top tier. And then you get Derek Carr and you get whatever in the next tier. And then you're down to Mitch Trubisky and Tyrod Taylor and Jameis Winston and Teddy Bridgewater, et cetera. And then you've got all the quarterbacks in the draft, you know, and they'll get, by the way, all of those quarterbacks are going to show up at the Senior Bowl, which Ron is not going to attend the Senior Bowl, which I thought was surprising. I think he said it was because it was his father's birthday. He's going to be celebrating his father's birthday during the Senior Bowl. I think that's a little bit strange, unless, of course, there's a compelling reason family-wise, personal-wise, and, of course, we would understand that. But I would think that every opportunity you could get to be around these quarterbacks that you may draft would be an opportunity. Now, maybe he doesn't believe that the quarterback of next year is coming via the draft. I mean, maybe that is a bit of a clue. But, you know, he put a lot of pressure on himself next year to have that first year of a run, kind of like he did in Carolina. And he's also put some pressure on himself and the organization to land the franchise quarterback. And you can, as I've been advocating now for 4 months, you can aim high, swing big, and miss badly, like most teams do when they search for this. Anyway, I wanted to, there are two stories that I've read over the last 24 hours that I wanted to discuss. John's story was an interesting one because there was a nugget in his story that I wanted to read to everybody because I think it's the first time I've seen this in writing. Before the draft last year, I mentioned that I had a source that told me that there were people in the organization that really liked Justin Fields, that if they made a move in the draft, they would be making a move to draft Justin Fields, the quarterback out of Ohio State, who ultimately went to the Bears after the Bears traded up from 20 to 11 with the Giants, giving up, you know, swapping picks in last year's first round, giving up another first round pick in this year's draft, and then giving up, I think it was third and fifth. I think that's what it was, Brendan, right? It was the swap and then the additional first, third, and fifth. Look that up for me. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay. From 20 to 11, right? It was 20 to 11?
Yeah.
Isn't that where Chicago was?
Yeah, they were 20th. They were right after Washington.
So, many times since the draft, you know, Rivera has mentioned that, you know, the price, it was kind of pricey. They didn't want to mortgage their future. They're building it one block at a time, building it inside out. They can get the quarterback later. They need the lines. Well, I mean, obviously that was in direct conflict with the fact that they had tried to trade for Matt Stafford. You know, I mean, the whole, it was very much a convenient narrative because they didn't land a quarterback in the offseason to say that wasn't really, that they were very pleased with the process of, you know, this is a process. We've got to build out the rest of the team because when we get that quarterback, there's got to be a team around that quarterback. Except that they went for the quarterback before they did anything last year. They went for the quarterback in Matt Stafford. And they, by the way, admitted in that Mike Silver story from the early portion of the season that they turned over every leaf on every available quarterback. And then talked about how, yes, there was some consideration about moving up, but the price was too steep. But there was never, I don't believe, any confirmation as to which quarterback they were moving up to take. Well, this from John Kime's story the other day. During the 2021 draft, Washington tried to move up to select quarterback Justin Fields, but the asking price was too rich. Look, I don't read and follow everything, so if somebody else had this at some point, that's fine. But Brendan, am I wrong? Is this the first time that we've had sort of confirmation from somebody on the beat or somebody as an NFL beat reporter that it was Justin Fields that they were considering moving up to take?
Yeah, that's the first confirmation we've had on it. Although I think we kind of knew before the draft that they like Fields based on what Mayhew said. But
what did Mayhew say?
I believe it was in their like pre-draft presser. He talked about having experience being mobile and coming from a big school, which would have been Fields, not Lance.
Yeah.
So if that's the first confirmation of it, then yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that's the first confirmation.
I talked to John last night, actually, for a while, just to ask him. He said, I think it's probably the first time. He said, I remember you had that they were interested in Fields or people in the organization were interested in Fields. And I said, I did, but no one's ever confirmed that when Ron talked about, you know, the idea of potentially trading up, nobody's ever confirmed that it was for Fields. There were several people who thought it may have been for Mac Jones. Or that they were going to go higher, much higher, and go after Trey Lance. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting nugget. So we now know, I think we know, and I kind of always had this feeling that at least, the only thing that I said definitively was I knew there were at least a few people in the organization that would have been involved in this decision that really liked Fields. But ultimately, the asking price being too rich, well, look, if Fields turns out to be a guy, like a real legit franchise guy, this was a mistake by Washington. This will be one of those where it's like there was no asking price that should have been too rich. Certainly not what the Bears ended up giving up. And, you know, it is possible that knowing that Washington would have been trading up for a quarterback, that the Giants wouldn't have done a deal with Washington, but Washington could have done a deal potentially with Denver or Carolina or Detroit. And maybe that's where they were trying to get up to take Justin Fields. You know, maybe they weren't asking the Giants for what their price was. But, you know, essentially a first, third, and a fifth, and then swapping spots is not too rich. Ron had indicated that there were players that were requested. Now, I know that that was also part of the Detroit conversation, too, and he didn't want to give up players, but I think it was also, you know, alluding to the possibility that the teams they were talking to, and it may have been Denver, it may have been Carolina, it may have been Detroit, that they wanted, you know, a player along with picks. But if Fields ends up being the real deal, well, and they had a chance to outbid Chicago like they could have potentially outbid the Rams. Although I think really that Matt Stafford to the Rams would have never changed unless the offer had been so different than the Rams offer. For whatever reason, and I, you know, it's admirable on one hand. I don't know if it's good business on the other. But the Lions wanted to do right by Matt Stafford. They wanted to send him to where he wanted to go, which was L.A. to play for Sean McVay. You know, sending him to Washington would have been, you know, a bad runner-up prize for him. So maybe Matt Stafford was never within reach unless you were going to really... I mean, ultimately, it was two first-rounders, a third-rounder, and Jared Goff. And Washington offered one first-rounder and a third-rounder. So they were a quarterback, a starting quarterback, and a first-rounder off. That is quite some distance to make up. But just remember that if Justin Fields turns out to be the real deal, they weren't aggressive enough. And personally, I thought there were signs in watching Justin Fields. I liked him. He was the guy that I kind of liked coming out. And it's funny because I wasn't always a huge Justin Fields fan at Ohio State, but I thought the game that he played against Clemson in the semifinals was just brilliant. And I, in watching him this year, the game that stands out more than any to me was that Monday night or Sunday night game against Pittsburgh. And he brought them back and they had a legit chance to win. And I thought he was really good in that game and showed a lot of signs. You know, he was hurt. Did he miss games also for COVID, I think, this year? You know, he missed games for injury, missed games for COVID. But I thought there were signs this year with Justin Fields. Like if I were a Chicago Bear fan, given that they've been in the market for that quarterback for, you know, not as long, because I think they kind of felt like they had it at least briefly with Jay Cutler. They've been in that, you know, in that wilderness for a long time too. If I were a Chicago Bear fan, I'd be pretty optimistic. Like if Justin Fields had played at the same level that he played for the Bears this year in Washington, I'd be kind of optimistic that, hey, there's a chance here. There's a chance they may have gotten it right. So that was one thing that I wanted to talk about, just the chime nugget in there about Justin Fields. Then we get to the Mike Silver story. Mike Silver, you know, and a longtime NFL reporter, was hired by Washington because he's a friend of Ron's from, you know, they were Cal Berkeley Bears together way back in the day. And he's written for the team's website several times, and he wrote a story that posted yesterday titled, Washington Faces Franchise-Defining Questions Ahead of Pivotal Offseason. Well, the franchise-defining questions ahead of this pivotal offseason is all about the quarterback. The story's all about the search for a quarterback. And there are a couple of things in this story that I think you need to hear. I'll read them to you when we come back. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app. I want to tell you about Window Nation right now. They've got their virtual home show extravaganza sale going on. You buy two windows, you get two free windows with no limit. So you're only paying half price for the windows you purchase. Plus, you don't have to make any down payment, you don't have to make any payments, and you don't have to pay interest for 2 full years. By the time you pay for your new windows that you will get in the next month, if you call them today, it'll be 2024. In the meantime, you'll save thousands of dollars on your energy bills, both your heating bill and your air conditioning bill during the summer. This weekend, touch your windows because it's going to be a very cold weekend. If your windows are really cold, that cold air is coming into your home because your windows are old and ineffective. If you're turning up the heat at night or running the heat all day long to keep the house warm, that's because your windows are ineffective. Natural gas prices are on the rise. Does your energy bill say you're using more energy than similar homes? This is because you need new windows. If you've been thinking about new windows, I would urge you to give Window Nation the first shot. And there's no risk in doing it. They'll give you a free estimate. If you don't want them coming into your home to give you a free estimate, they can do it online. Call them at 866-90-NATION or go to windownation.com. Mention my name. You'll get a free estimate. You can shop it. They're not going to be pushy. All right, they'll say, you know, take the estimate, shop it if you want. You're not going to find a better company, a better product, or a better price. I promise you that. Window Nation does windows. They do them better than anybody. They've installed over 200,000 windows in the last year alone. 96% of them required no follow-up service. It is an aberration. It's a long shot that once they leave your home after installation, that you're going to need to call them back. One of the reasons is they measure each window three times to ensure proper fit. They're trusted by over 100,000 homeowners, including me and many of our listeners here. 866-90-NATION. WindowNation.com. Get two free windows with every two you buy, no limit. Plus, no down payment, no payments, and no interest for two full years. You'll save thousands, savings you'll only see once this year. 866-90-NATION or WindowNation.com and tell them that Kevin Sheehan sent you.
Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
From a good friend of mine, how did you not mention Jared Bynum's performance against Georgetown last night back home? Well, it wasn't home. The game was at Providence last night. But Jared Bynum, Georgetown prep zone. Jared Bynum last night, 9 points, 8 assists in 28 minutes. For Providence, the 21st ranked team in the country. Jared was a really good high school basketball player at Georgetown Prep. I think I saw probably every single one of his games. My son was on that team. It was a very good Georgetown Prep team, finished number two in the city. And Jared Bynum is Ed Cooley's point guard, and he's doing a great job at Providence. And yeah, we're all in the Sheehan family reading every Jared Bynum box score every morning after a Providence game and watching every game that we can. I just wasn't rooting for Providence to cover last night. I was rooting for them to win, but I was not rooting for them to cover. Mike Silver yesterday posted a story. You know, he's a contributing writer to the team, the Washington football team's website. This is the team-owned website, which you can find at washingtonfootball.com. By the way, you can also be redirected to it by punching in redskins.com if you're just curious about that. So, you know, you've got to, when Silver writes, you've got to read it because he's really close to Ron Rivera, you know? And so you've got to see what he's not going to write something that's that far off. You know, these aren't speculation pieces. These are very informed pieces that he's writing for the team's website, a gig he got because he's very close to the head coach. You know, Mike Silver was the initial guy that wrote this story, NFL.com, I believe, about Rivera after he got fired and where he would land. And one of the things that Rivera loved about the Washington opening was the roster at that point. By the way, I think if Washington didn't have the number two pick in the draft and they didn't have some of the perceived defensive talent, John Allen, Daron Payne, Montez Sweat, et cetera, on the roster, I don't know that Rivera would have considered here. I think the overriding thought for Rivera about the Washington opening was he liked the roster. He thought there was a chance for a quick turnaround, especially on defense. Okay, so Silver wrote the following. Story titled, Washington Faces Franchise-Defining Questions Ahead of Pivotal Offseason. By the way, at the very top of the story, it's written, the opinions expressed in this article do not reflect those of the team. Okay. The question has hovered over Ron Rivera's two-year tenure as the Washington football team coach like a shroud of thick fog from his native Central California coast. What's the plan at quarterback? And is there another Sonny Jurgensen, Joe Theismann, or Doug Williams-level leader who can lift this franchise to the great heights it once enjoyed? By the way, I think about this organization, obviously the tradition, the glory years of those Super Bowls, but that quarterback was never the main feature. I mean, Mark Rippon had a tremendous 1991 season 30 years ago. By the way, we are nearing the 30-year anniversary of Super Bowl XXVI, which we will talk about next week, and we will have a guest or two on to talk about their memories of Super Bowl XXVI, the win over Buffalo. Mark Rippon, though, was not a franchise quarterback. You know, that was the last Super Bowl winning quarterback, but Mark Rippon was not a franchise quarterback. You know, if we go back, you know, the search for a franchise quarterback, the truth is the closest thing they've had since the glory years is probably Brad Johnson. You know, but of course, Jeff George was more appealing to the owner than Brad Johnson was. And Brad Johnson wouldn't have been obviously a top 10 or an elite quarterback. But I think, you know, those years, had he been a healthy quarterback with Norv Turner potentially as the head coach, would have been considered, you know, a top half of the league starter. And that's what Kirk Cousins was. You know, those are the two. And, you know, we've talked about the best quarterbacks over this long stretch of not having one. And it's Cousins and Brad Johnson. I have said, believe it or not, that to me, Brad Johnson was the best since the glory days, and that Kirk was number two. I do think that Brad was a good NFL quarterback. It ultimately went on to, you know, be a part of a very good Tampa defense, no doubt, but a Super Bowl winning team. Anyway, the point is that the last true franchise quarterback, like obvious elite level quarterback, you know, not, you know, borderline top 10-ish like Kirk was, top 10 to top 15, wherever you want to put him, or Brad Johnson, but a guy that was an NFL MVP in 1983, it's Joe Theismann. Joe Theismann was really the last time this franchise had an elite level quarterback that you could count on year in and year out. And then obviously in 1985, his season and career came to an end on the Lawrence Taylor hit on a Monday night. The truth was Joe was starting to wind down a little bit anyway. I don't know if he would agree with me on that. He was not having a great season at that point. And no, Jay Schrader wasn't a franchise quarterback. And Doug Williams was not an elite quarterback. Doug Williams was an elite leader. There is no doubt about that. Anyway, back to the silver story. As Rivera trudges forward following a disappointing 7-10 season and looks to 2022, his overriding goal is clarity. Sometime in the next several months, he expects to address the most important position on his football team in a definitive and inspired manner, giving Washington's fans and the men in his locker room a reason to get excited. There are many, many potential targets, some of which I'm told it would be better not to mention by name, lest the people in charge of the teams for which they are currently under contract take umbrage and unleash the NFL's tampering police. So no, I won't be specifically citing any accomplished quarterbacks who may or may not be married to a famous singer, Russell Wilson. He doesn't write Russell Wilson. I add parenthetically, Russell Wilson. Engaged to a famous actress, Aaron Rodgers, parenthetically, or infamously shelved by a slew of civil lawsuits, we add Deshaun Watson. Nor will I, he writes, explicitly ponder the possibility that if a coaching change happens in a city celebrated for its nightlife, Las Vegas, I add parenthetically, a certain quarterback, Derek Carr, I add, may not stay in said city as I did in a recent column for another website. I didn't read his other column in the other website, but I guess he mentioned Derek Carr to Washington as a possibility. So first he writes, sometime in the next several months, Ron Rivera expects to address the most important position on his football team in a definitive and inspired manner, giving Washington's fans and the men in his locker room a reason to get excited. And then he mentions potential targets, even though he can't mention them by name. He mentions, you know, a lot of the names, you know, we've all considered. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Derek Carr. And then he writes the following. I know, so much for clarity. It's coming, however, because Rivera, along with general manager Martin Mayhew and executive vice president of player personnel and football Marty Herney, is determined to work toward a franchise-defining decision. Such a move, the coach believes, will create a sense of stability inside the building, sending a message to players and fans that the status quo is unacceptable. That's pretty strong for the team's website. And he writes at the beginning that these opinions are expressed by him and not necessarily a reflection of those of the team. But he's writing on the team's website. He has a relationship with Ron Rivera that might be closer than anybody has in the media. And Ron Rivera has clearly told him, we got to do this. And we got to do this now. Because we can't go into next year with Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen. We got to make a bold move. The status quo is unacceptable. We have to create a sense of stability inside the building. We have to send a message to players and fans that the status quo is unacceptable. Yeah. Yeah, they do. But there's no guarantee they will. But they have to try. And they're going to try. Now, he goes on to write that standing pat is the only option that's not on the table. So, understand that when Rivera said to me last week, and he said to the beat reporters earlier in the week, that, you know, they're going to be looking at four avenues or four opportunities. You know, they're going to be looking at evaluating their own quarterbacks. They're going to be looking at the draft. They're going to be looking at free agency. They're going to be looking at the trade possibilities. That the evaluation of the players on the roster is not an option. And Silver writes that definitively. Standing pat is the only option that's not on the table. And then he writes, among the possibilities, Washington can make a major play for a star who might be available via the trade market, as was the case with Matt Stafford a year ago. There are at least decorated passers, okay, including two previous Super Bowl winners, that would be Rodgers and Wilson, whose potential desire to play elsewhere has surfaced in numerous media reports over the past year, each of who would theoretically command a steep price. There's another standout quarterback who also may soon fit into this category. And now he's talking about Derek Carr because he writes, according to my aforementioned report for the other website, Washington could try to roll the dice, all right, a Vegas reference, by dealing for him, another Vegas reference. However, there's no guarantee that any of these quarterbacks will ultimately relocate. I would suggest to all of us, and try to keep convincing myself of this, that while this is what I want them to do, not the Derek Carr part, the other three, I want them to go after in a big way, Wilson, Rodgers, or Watson. Like massive offers, massive due diligence, just try to convince them, do what Dan Snyder used to do. You know, at any price, we're making a splash. I just don't see any of those things happening. You know, especially Rodgers more than the other two. Like, Aaron Rodgers is not going to finish up his career in Washington, right? Brendan, seriously, isn't that just almost a ridiculous thing to consider?
I mean, it seems impossible for him to want to come here given what other options could be on the table. Like, Denver and Pittsburgh both more stable organizations with better weapons around him and a better defense that would put him in a position to win a title if he moved away from Green Bay. That's if he wants to move away from Green Bay, which I'm not convinced of either.
Oh, I'm definitely not convinced of that. In fact, right now, if you told me I had to wager on where Aaron Rodgers plays next year, I would wager it's Green Bay. I would definitely wager that it's not Washington. You know, the Watson and Wilson thing seems so much more possible, even though I consider them to be long shots too. You know, but I see Wilson staying in Seattle because everybody else is staying in Seattle. And who would they have to replace him with? See, this is the dilemma. You know, this is why during the Kirk Cousins years, I was so adamant, like, okay, then who? Like, how often do you even get the chance to have a guy that's a legitimate top half of the league starter? You don't get that opportunity that often. Look at the teams that are going to be in the market potentially for a quarterback this year. Okay, we don't know about Miami. We know Pittsburgh, possibly Cleveland, potentially Indy, possibly Denver for sure. And, you know, in the division, it's possible Philadelphia and the Giants could both be in the market for quarterbacks. In the NFC North, the Lions and Vikings could be a possibility. Not because they don't, Kirk isn't good enough to play there. It's because his contract is so cost prohibitive. Then you know the Saints are in the market. You know the Panthers are in the market. And more likely than not, that would be it. What did I just rip off? 10, 11 teams there. And then Washington. And that assumes that everybody that drafted a quarterback last year is totally pleased with the results so far. They're not going to move on. The Jets aren't going to move on from Zach Wilson yet. I mean, things like that aren't going to happen after 1 year. It's hard. It's hard to land these quarterbacks. But anyway, I just don't see Rodgers. I don't see Wilson. The Watson thing I think could be a little bit more intriguing because maybe he doesn't have as many options. And Washington, obviously, you would think intuitively because of the recent history in the organization, couldn't do it. But if he were rehabbed, using that term because I don't have a better term for it, if he were eligible, not suspended for a year or not suspended indefinitely, but, you know, some sort of definitive 4, 6, 8-game suspension for conduct detrimental, whatever it would be, I would still consider going for it, and I would look at it from a pure brass tacks business angle. And I would say, if I were the Snyders, look, we're going to take a lot of heat for this, but at this point, really, how much lower can we go? Like, you know, the bottom line is the only thing that should matter in that organization, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not doing the thing where I'm not sympathetic and I'm not sensitive to what's gone on in the organization and the victims of that culture. Okay, I have great sensitivity and empathy for that situation. All I'm saying is that, you can pursue both paths simultaneously, revamping the culture of your organization and then doing what you have to do to even be an organization anymore in this league. To be a legitimate player, a professional franchise, you can't go any lower from a PR standpoint. They're at rock bottom PR-wise. The only thing that will fix this is winning on the field. And when they do win, if they were to win with some level of grace and decorum, which they've never had. They've been the most classless franchise for the last 22 years. You know, it would help because I have this argument with people all the time. It's the winning, it's the winning, it's the winning that has to happen. It's true. But the losing hasn't been the only reason that they've chased away more than half their fan base. It's been their behavior that's been that. They've been just deplorable people, you know, in the ownership group. And that's where a lot of the big-time supporters and endorsers and ticket holders, that's why they've backed away. It's not just the losing. It's been the fact that they can't support people like this. But at the end of the day, you can't go any lower from where they are now. So let's try to put up a winning product out onto the field. Not to mention that with the new name, which we are now less than 2 weeks away from, that's going to hit like a lead weight for a lot of people that are still fans. It's going to be a wake-up call as to, you know what, that's not my team anymore. This Washington football team with the jerseys looking the same, that's been one thing. The Commanders with a new look, even though the colors will be the same, is going to drop very heavy on a lot of people. So winning is the only way out of this thing. So Deshaun Watson would absolutely be in play for me. Obviously, I need assurances on a couple of fronts. But Watson out of those three would be the one. All right, up next, we'll get to the NFL playoffs. Just keep in mind that Silver writes what everybody knows, and he confirms. That is, they're going for it, And they're probably going to look at trade market first. There was one other thing, actually, he mentioned in this story that I've got to mention, because he mentioned this at the very end of the story. I'll mention this when we come back, and then we'll get to the NFL playoffs for the weekend. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.